Thank you, Lord, for this this message, Lord. B'Shem Yeshua. A covenant defines how one party must relate to another. We may not realize it, but each of us are parties to multiple covenants. Some that we agreed to, and even some that we initiated. Some that we did not agree to, but found ourselves a part of nevertheless. How can this be, you ask? Let me show you. We're all children of our parents. We did not ask to be. God gave them to us during our lives. And during the lives with our parents, some of us still with our parents, we were in covenant with them. We, for our part, were or still are obligated to obey them. Exodus 20:12 commands us, honor your father and mother so that you may live long in the land which Adonai your God is giving you. That is an obligation of covenant in which we had no say. We were placed in it by being born to our parents. For our parents, hopefully, was different in that their conception of us was intentional and they looked forward to training us in the way we should go, that even when we were old, we would not swerve from it. Both are covenant obligations that spring out of relationships, one not intentional and the other hopefully intentional. And all the covenants we read about in Scripture are similar. Some we asked for, some we did not ask for, but we cooperated with. Some were given to us, some were given to us that we didn't want. The Adamic covenant of creation is an example. Adam did not ask to be created, but once he implicitly agreed to not sin against God by eating of that prohibited tree. On God's part, the covenant was intentional from the beginning. Moving on to Abraham, God's covenant with him was explicit, and Abraham had no say in it. In Genesis 17, 1-8, we read, when Avram was 99 years old, Adonai appeared to Avram and said to him, I am El Shaddai, God Almighty. Walk in my presence and be pure-hearted. I will make my covenant between me and you, and I will increase your numbers greatly. Avram fell on his face, and God continued speaking with him. As for me, this is my covenant with you. You will be the father of many nations. Your name will no longer be Avram, exalted father, but your name will be Abraham, father of many. Because I have made you the father of many nations, I will cause you to be very fruitful. I will make nations of you, and kings will descend from you. I am establishing my covenant between me and you, along with your descendants after you, generation after generation, as an everlasting covenant to be God for you and for your descendants after you. I will give you and your descendants after you the land in which you are now foreigners, all the land of Canaan, as a permanent possession, and I will be their God. Abraham did have a way out of the covenant, which was to violate it by refusing circumcision. We read in verses 9 to 11, God said to Abraham, as for you, you are to keep my covenant, you and your descendants after you, generation after generation. Here is my covenant which you are to keep between me and you, along with your descendants after you. Every male among you is to be circumcised. You are to be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskin. This will be the sign of the covenant between me and you. Abraham did not violate the covenant, but the children of Israel violated one that came later. the one we call the Mosaic Covenant. We read in Jeremiah 31, in the Hebrew verse 30 to 31, and in the English Bible 31 to 32. Here the days are coming, says Adonai, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Yehuda. It will not be like the covenant I made with their fathers on the day I took them by the hand and brought them out of the land of Egypt. Because they, for their part, violated my covenant, even though I, for my part, was a husband to them, says Adonai. And as we read further, we learn that God promised the children of Israel a new covenant, one to replace the one that they violated. Beginning at verse 32 in the Hebrew, we read, "For this is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says Adonai. I will put my Torah within them and write it on their hearts. I will be their God and they will be my people. No longer will any of them teach his fellow community member or his brother, saying, 'Know Adonai,' for all will know me from the least of them to the greatest, because I will forgive their wickednesses and remember their sins no more." Those are some that are among what we might term the classical covenants of Scripture. And there are others. Now, I want to mention two that are not often referred to as covenants, but they are nevertheless. I can read them to you from the Tanakh, but I think I'll read them as Yeshua spoke them in Matthew 22, verses 37 to 39. He said, "You are to love Adonai your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. This is the greatest and most important mitzvah, and a second is similar to it. You are to love your neighbor as yourself." Verse 37 defines a covenant of love between man and God, and verse 39 defines one that is analogous, and it's between man and man. Notice that all the covenants I've mentioned, in fact, all covenants, involve relationships. But all relationships do not involve covenants. A prisoner, for example, he has a relationship with his jailer. He's the jailer's prisoner and not the other way around. That's the relationship. But he is typically not in covenant with his jailer because the prisoner has no obligation to the jailer. On the other hand, the jailer does, or at least should, consider that he is in covenant with the prisoner in that he has an obligation to his prisoner to keep him fed, healthy, and safe. If you want to know whether a relationship involves a covenant, ask the question, does one of the relating parties have an obligation to the other? You'll find that most relationships are covenantal. I would like now to speak about a particular covenant relationship, the one that joins us together as members of Ohev Yisrael. You may recall that when we applied for Ohev membership, we were required to take a course that taught us about Ohev's Messianic Jewish culture, theology, and congregational government. The purpose of the course was to define Ohev membership as a covenant in which its members have obligations to one another that are similar to the covenant obligations within a nuclear, that is, a two-parent family. What are those obligations? Well, they vary. Since we acknowledge the same Father in heaven, one of them is that we consider each other brothers and sisters in the Lord. In that regard, Matthew 12, the first part of verse 50 tells us, "Whoever does what my Father in heaven wants, that person is my brother and sister." And Hebrews chapter 2, verses 11 to 12, at the beginning of 12, tells us, "For both Yeshua, who sets people apart for God, and the ones being set apart, have a common origin. This is why he is not ashamed to call them brothers when he says, I will proclaim your name to my brothers. Now, these scriptures are not only for congregational members. They apply to all believers, for we are in a covenant relationship with all believers. Nevertheless, our congregational membership carries with it some specific obligations that are not shared by non-members, even non-members who attend OHAVE's Shabbat services every week. One of these obligations is to be proactive in supporting OHAVE's vision of purpose as declared on its website, which states, we are a congregational home for Jewish believers in Yeshua and for believing Gentiles called to serve Messiah within the Messianic Jewish community. And members are also expected to be proactive in OHAVE's mission of outreach, which is also on the website. It says, to proclaim the good news of Messiah Yeshua to the Jewish community and to provide a congregational home for Jewish believers and akin non-Jewish believers. It is natural for our members to want to enjoy the benefits of their membership, but notice that we are also called to give service. And that is biblical, for we read Yeshua's words to his disciples in Matthew 20, the end of 26. But Yeshua called them and said, you know that among the Goyim, the Gentiles, those who are supposed to rule them become tyrants and their superiors become dictators. Among you, it must not be like that. On the contrary, whoever among you wants to be a leader must become your servant. And similarly, in Mark 35, Yeshua said, if anyone wants to be first, he must make himself last of all and servant of all. So how can we serve? There are many ways, enough to accomplish and accommodate each person's giftings and availability of time. One that comes to mind is joining a midweek chavurah. How is that serving? It is serving because our supportive presence, our participation in discussions, and our prayers that are generated within each chavurah advance the work of the congregation and serve the needs of OHAVE members in ways that are not possible during our large gatherings in Shabbat like today. Another way to serve is to participate on one of our priesthood teams. The priesthood teams are important to the Shabbat service because members of the team prepare and serve the bread and wine of the Lord's table. But they also function before and after the service by being in charge of our Oneg Shabbatot, bringing food, setting up, serving the food, and cleaning up afterwards. Our Onegs are not just lunches. The fellowship that occurs during our Onegs is significant ministry in that it connects our members with visitors and connects with each other, catching up on the lives of our brothers and sisters so that we can better serve them and know how to pray for them is very much a part of what God wants from our covenant members. Then there are the after Oneg functions, the Beit Midrash, the Torah study, the Hebrew classes. We may not be the leaders, but each of us is highly each of us there participate, and these functions are highly participatory, so our comments and our questions and, yes, even our mere presence are a service to all. I have not yet mentioned the worship team and the Torah team and the ordained leadership positions in our congregation. Do we have gifts that would qualify us to participate in one of these? To play an instrument for worship? To teach? Do we see ourselves serving as a shamash or shamasha, as an elder? 1 Timothy 3:1 says that anyone aspiring to be a congregational leader, is seeking a worthwhile work. OHAVE's covenant membership calls us to serve, and these are some of the ways we can. However, we have other covenant obligations as well. We read in OHAVE's bylaws that we are to, and I'm quoting, proclaim Yeshua, Jesus of Nazareth, as the Messiah of Israel and of the whole earth, to be witnesses of his resurrection and the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit, to bring Jewish and non-Jewish people to a saving knowledge of Yeshua through faith in his sacrifice as the full and only atonement for all of mankind's sins. This is a serious call to evangelistic outreach that is the responsibility of all OHAVE members, and we had an example of that just a little while ago. Perhaps we work at a 9-to-5 job that exhausts us, and when we get home, all we want to do is sack out. Perhaps we care for young children, clean the house, cook meals for our family, and then collapse on the sofa. Perhaps we're a student. We study many hours and take exams, and the last thing we want to hear is that we have other responsibilities beyond those. But we do. All of us do. Not only because we are covenant members of OHAVE, but because we are covenant members of Yeshua's body of believers. We can resign from OHAVE membership and we'll still be in covenant with the larger body and have to deal with the scriptures such as Mark 16:15, which in the Complete Jewish Bible translates this way, as you go throughout the world, proclaim the good news to all creation. And similarly, Matthew 10:7, as you go, proclaim the kingdom of heaven is near. And Matthew 5:16, let your light shine before people so that they may see the good things you do and praise your Father in heaven. To be sure, there are also scripture translations of Mark 16:15 that say go instead of as you go. But interestingly, Young's literal translation and the Disciples' literal translation agree with Stern's Complete Jewish Bible translation, as you go. And this is possibly because the Greek verb that's translated go in the Mark scripture is not in the imperative tense. I know it's technical, but I'm bringing it up because while we may say that we have little time or energy left to go, we have no excuse for not being a witness and not proclaiming the gospel to those whom we encounter as we go about our daily lives. There are two more important requirements of OHAVE's covenant membership that I want to bring to your attention before I close. The first of these is tithing. OHAVE's bylaws state that its covenant members are to give, and I'm quoting, regular contributions of tithes and offerings to support the congregation according to his or her ability, as described in Acts 4:32 and Acts 2 Corinthians 9:7. Our tithes given to OHAVE are used to support OHAVE's various ministries. They pay our rent, the salaries of 2 rabbis and an office manager, benevolence gifts to help members who are in need, our congregational tithe to Tikkun America, our membership in the UMJC, gifts of support to several ministries in Israel, and several other expenses as well. Although the Mosaic law requiring tithes originally applied literally only to the tabernacle, later the Holy Temple, and also to the Levitical priesthood, it is the most logical and biblical way to support congregations in the New Covenant, and it is a covenant requirement of OHAVE membership, albeit subject to one's ability. The last requirement of OHAVE's covenant membership I want to mention, although there are others, is the requirement that we resolve disputes among our members according to the dictates of Scripture. OHAVE's bylaws state as follows. in any private offense or dispute within the congregation or between any member and another believer, regardless of position or office, the principles of Matthew 18, 15 to 17, Matthew 5, 23 to 24, 1 Corinthians 5, 11, 6 and 7, Deuteronomy 17, 8 to 11, and other applicable parts of the Holy Scriptures shall provide the basis for its resolution. I do not have time to go into the particulars of how we apply these scriptures, so I refer you instead to a little book I wrote a while back titled Disputes, Discipline, and Reconciliation in the Body of Believers. The book is available through Tikkun or Amazon, or see me if you want a copy. There is more I could say about covenant, but my time is up. I recommend that all OHAVE members refresh their memories of their covenant commitments to OHAVE by rereading OHAVE's bylaws and by practicing a very simple biblical principle, which is to treat each other as we would want them to treat us. Thank you, Lord, for giving me the inspiration of this message. B'Shem Yeshua. Amen.
Please rise for the final blessing.